so yesterday, last week we learned about the descendant of the Baal Shem Tov, who is the Maggid of Mezrich. We learned all about him, taught some of his teachings. And today, we're going to learn about his, it's hard to say main descendant, but maybe the most famous descendant, mainstream Hasidut, all flows through this rabbi. If you go to Borough Park, or Williamsburg, and y'all ever been there? Good. Right next, near my hometown of Flatbush. So basically, everyone there. Yeah.
Cool. He's sorry.
I'm not. I didn't go to Flatbush High School. I lived in Flatbush. I went to MTA. MTA.
I've been there.
Cool.
Hey,
what's up? So we're learning about the Rebbe Rav Melech, as he's affectionately called by true Hasidim, like us, because when we enter this classroom, we're just full Hasidim. Pes, beard, neshama. We're Hasidim. We should get special hats. Maybe next week. But so Rav Melech Milijins, Alimelech Milijins, and many of the great Hasidic rabbis, some of you may have heard of him, we'll learn about them. Chaf Aleph Adar. Excellent, though. Very impressive. How do you know that?
Do you know your
Rabbi Reichman Englewood? Yes, yes, I do. Yeah, so last year we had the big time shooter every Wednesday night, so last year happened to be that Wednesday night, it was right after Purim, exactly. So on Chaf Aleph Adar, almost every, there's not so, the Jews is Hasidim like this Chib Tachanun, but in every Hasidic courtyard, they skip Tachanun on Chaf Aleph Adar, because it's the yard site of the Rebbe Melech, or Elimelech Melezhinsk, who many of the great rabbis, like the Seer of Lublin, Heschel, or the Apter Rebbe, not the Heschel of the, you know, the Heschel that we know, but the great-great-grandfather, and the Kuzhin of the Maggid, the Rimanover, many great Hasidic masters all were descendants of Rebbe Elimelech Melezhinsk, who was a great leader of Polish Jewry. Right, he took the Maggid Mezrich, who was like the last, I guess, general of Hasidus, and he was the next Rebbe in Poland, who himself became a general, and many great Hasidic masters flowed through him. So when we learn his Torahs today, we're really, again, touching on one of the headquarters of all of Hasidut. His book is called Noam Elimelech. I actually, Ed Chavusha was one of the guys here learning it last year. It's very interesting. There is an English book out there. Yeah? Cool. So yeah, it's tens of thousands of people visit his grave. When you go to Poland, it's like one of the biggest sites. If you guys want, my wife actually sent me a picture of her there. If you want to get a visual of it, I'll show you at the end. He's a huge person to know. It's considered a basic work. He was one of the guys who really took Hasidus and spoke in a language that people could understand, and really spread the ideas of Hasidus to the world. So let's a little bit more biography, and then we'll soon, Bezrat Hashem, get into some of his teachings. Cool? Okay. So, give me one second. Again, the book that when I want good stories, so we'll tell a couple of good stories, so I go to this book. If you guys ever want a more in-depth version, Elie Wiesel, Souls on Fire, very well written. And for the teachings and biography part, I go to Rav Aryeh Kaplan's Hasidic Masters, if you want to more in depth, or do Chazara at some point. So, okay. Alright, so a little biography, some stories, and then we're ready to learn some teachings. So, his legend rivals that of the Baal Shem Tov himself, but even more so is him and his brother. Anyway, I'm sure some of you have heard of his brother, Rav Zusha. You've heard of the story of Zusha of Anipoli. So Rav Melech and Zusha were brothers, and there's many stories about their wanderings and travels together. They're very different personalities. Rav Zusha is kind of like the humble, modest guy, right, who was willing to take the beatings for Am Yisrael, who's simple, and he was one of the only Hasidic masters from the Maggid Mezrich that didn't become a Rebbe himself, totally of all that humility. Rav Melech was much more about fear and awe, and really like as much, of course, still serving Hashem with joy, but he's very, maybe a little bit different than like the Baal Shem Tov and the Magen Mezrach mentioned more like personable, happy personalities. Rav Elimelech Melizhinsk is a personality of din, of like fear, awe, right? So today we'll learn some of his teachings. We're going to get into a different headspace. We're going to get to a headspace of like a tzaddik. He's the one who introduces into the world the concept of that there's a tzaddik and that we all have to strive to be tzaddikim, not just pretty good yidden who dance and sing a little bit. No, we all have an obligation to mamish, be serving Hashem and clinging to Hashem like a tzaddik. Okay, so this week we're going to mamish be tzaddikim. Excited? Kavat. Okay, so his father was rich. We don't know so much about him. His mother was a very simple woman, but she was known for her prayers. She prayed, knew the whole Siddur by heart, even though she couldn't read. Rav Melech himself began, like many of these masters, as an astounding Talmudist. He knew Gemara like crazy, as opposed to his brother, Rav Zusha would go into the fields and dance and sing with Hashem. Rav Zusha was, that type. Rav Melech was a scholar. And Rav Zusha was the one who got attracted to the Magen Mezrach and Chassidut and dancing and singing in fervent ecstasy. And he ultimately schlepped Elimelech to meet the Magen Mezrach and brought Rav Elimelech into Chassidut. Very similar, by the way, to Rav Shlomo Karlbach. Similar. His brother Eli Chaim was the one who actually schlepped him into Chassidus, whereas Rav Shlomo was originally just the, like, you know, Talmudist, like learning all day. So it's fascinating. Okay, so once they went to Mezrich, they were turned on by the Magid, and they decided to do something that for us is strange, but was kind of common practice for Hasidic Rebbes. They decided to go for 3 years of wandering the world just to kind of raise holy sparks, to humble themselves, and to kind of search out the world for holiness. It sounds a little nuts, but that's what Hasidic Rebbes would do in those days. So they wandered, and there are a lot of stories about they were like simple, poor people. No one knew how great and scholarly they were, right? And there are stories that say, you know, they would travel, and only the poor farmers would let them in. And later, when they were big rebbes, instead of going to the honorable, revered people, they would go to the poor farmer who let them stay when they were just, you know, wandering yidden. So one of the things that's very important about Rav Elimelech Melizhinsk's Torah is it's vital to be humble. Humility is like the first step. If you have arrogance, even a little bit of arrogance, then the whole thing's over. Right? It's very, very important to be humble. In fact, he has a Torah. They asked him, why did Adam have to sin? Why did he sin? He said, because that way he would have some humility. If he wouldn't have sinned, he would have been arrogant. He would have thought he's all that. So even more important sometimes than doing the right thing, it's important to have the right attitude, to have the right character traits, and to be humble, not to have arrogance. That's very important in his Torahs, and probably that was reflected in the fact that he would wander like a homeless person for 3 years around the world to kind of acquire this thing of just being humble, not making such a big deal about himself. The Musar movement also did very similar things. Eventually, he became one of the main, Rameli Melech Melejins became one of the main people in the courtyard of the Magen Mezrach. He was a genius, he was extremely devout, and his prayer was out of this world. He would pray with like a fire that no one else could even touch it, and he was known to be a saintly person. What does that mean? What do I mean saintly? He would never sleep at night with any money because he would always give it away by the end of the night. And people would come and give him money to daven for them. He would daven for them, and then he would give it to tzedakah. And he would hardly eat. He would, like, he was very, very, right? Similar to who else have we spoken about who would just give away all of his tzedakah? Shlomo, right? Shlomo was a disciple of all these masters. So a lot of the stories are kind of similar. So also Rav Elimelech was known as the tzaddik in that sense. Eventually, after the Magen Mezrach passed away, Rav Elimelech, it split. Everyone took a different place in Europe, but Rav Elimelech was probably the most well-known Rebbe, and he moved to a place called Lizinsk, And that became one of the, like, the capital and the focal point of much of Chassidut. And here he had a courtyard where, you know, people would learn and he would daven and people would give him something called a pidyonot, like little money, and he would daven for people. And he was known as the tzaddik. He actually introduces this concept of the tzaddik. He's very big into this concept of the tzaddik, which, to be honest, completely honest, I don't really connect to it so much. I think in our generation we have a hard time connecting this concept that, you know, we have to, there's a tzaddik, we'd rather just, like, you know, they're rabbis, but, like, a tzaddik that davens for you, I'll just daven for myself, right? It's something very foreign for us. But the way I take it is, when he's talking about a tzaddik, I take it, I have to strive to be that tzaddik. Meaning it's not a, just about, oh, some big rabbi's a tzaddik. For our, the way that I interpret his Torah is that it's about us striving to be that tzaddik. And I also think it's important to recognize that we all need help. Right? The truth is, I took a life coaching course this summer. And the main thing it really is all about is just helping other people achieve their goals. And that's all that really being a Rebbe means. It means someone who's there for you, who cares for you, who's there to help you achieve your goals. Okay? That's, you know, so I don't think, as much as nowadays, it's, we like to think we're independent, I think it's very important to take this concept of having friends or having rabbis or having guidance, because truth is, without friends or people to help us, like, it's very hard to actually grow in life. You really need someone to be on your back, to be coaching you, to be helping you, to be pushing you. Otherwise, we go back to our old bad habits. So I think we definitely need this concept of everyone searching for a Rebbe, even nowadays. But anyways, so as mentioned, he became the Rebbe of many, many very famous tzaddikim. And one thing that was very important is that he made sure, like, a Rebbe's job is to take care of all of his disciples, both physically and spiritually. And he would obviously guide them spiritually. You have to daven this, you have to learn, and we're going to talk about that. But also physically, he helped them out, helped them find a shidduch, helped them not just on a spiritual level. And to this day, that's like, you know, you go to Borough Park, you go to Williamsburg, that's like, that's the rule of the Rebbe, not just to spiritually guide you, but also to physically help. What job should I take, Rebbe? This, that, and another thing. Okay? With that said, like, as I mentioned before, Elimelech's approach is very different than, let's say, the Baal Shem Tov's approach. And this is important to understand. Well, the Baal Shem Tov was preaching, if you remember, that God is everywhere, that God is available. Like, you don't have to be a Talmudic scholar in order to be close to Hashem. All you have to do is sing and dance and open yourself up, and Hashem is right there next to you, right? Remember that? And Rav Elimelech actually took the other side and stressed that, yes, Hashem is everywhere, but when you sin, you break that connection between you and Hashem. So he preached vigilance. He preached, of course Hashem wants to have a connection with you. Of course Hashem loves you. But you can do things which are going to disconnect you from Hashem, right? And what disconnects us from Hashem, according to Hasidic understanding of life, averos are mechitzot that separate us from Hashem. In other words, somebody's going to come up to me and say, "Rav Keith, I want to, like, you know, feel God, but, like, I don't feel anything," right? So what would the Baal Shem Tov say? If you're the Baal Shem Tov, what would you say? I don't know. Go dance. Go sing. Go daven with an amazing davening. Maybe I'm just guessing, but what would Melech say? He'd say, well, Hashem's, it's natural that a Jew should feel connection to Hashem. So if you're not feeling it, what's the problem? Maybe you're doing some sort of things which are disconnecting you from Hashem. Some averos. Maybe you gotta take, you know, you're immersing yourself too much in physicality. Maybe, right? If you get rid of all those obstacles, then you'll feel connected to Hashem. But if you're, you know, doing these things which are dirtying your soul, of course you're not going to be able to feel connection to Hashem, right? I think both are true, right? Which one do you guys feel more? Are you guys more connected to the approach of the Baal Shem Tov or the approach of Rav Melech? You like the Baal Shem Tov more. You like singing and dancing.
Do not.
Nah, I agree. For sure, but the truth is, I think it's important to understand both. Again, the Baal Shem Tov is just sing and dance to connect to Hashem. And the Rav Melech is saying, yeah, of course, sing and dance. But if you're not connecting to Hashem, it's probably because you're doing something wrong. Because sin disconnects us from Hashem. So it's important not just to, you know, do the positive, but also to think about maybe there are things in your life which you have to cut out if you really want to be connected to Hashem. So I think they're both obviously the different. I think each rabbi stresses a different thing. They're all different parts of the puzzle, right?
Like you can't just like sing and dance and another side.
Right, there's something missing there. Not that the Baal Shem. Right, so each Rebbe kind of has a different persona, and they stress different things. Okay, and in fact, the Rebbe writes something that's called the Tzetzel HaKatan, which is the Rebbe Melech, Noam Elimelech. That's what his sefer is called. And what this is, the Tzetzel HaKatan to this day is read by Hasidic kids before they go to school. And it's a little letter. It's like a 17 point of how to become a good Hasidic Jew, how to be connected to Hashem. So what I did is I typed up a couple of things that maybe we can connect to, and that'll be we'll learn a couple of his Torahs now, and we'll learn even some of his pointers of how to be a good Hasidic Jew, because we're all good Hasidic Jews this week. Seder. Okay, so everybody take a source sheet. It's 2 pages. Right, that one is 2 pages, and the rest is double-sided. The rest is double-sided, I think. The rest was supposed to be double-sided. Wow. You ready? Ready to learn the Halakha teachings of the... Oh, I forgot to tell you some stories of Rav Zusha. Should I save for the end? Okay, we'll save Rav Zusha, because Rav Zusha and Rav Melech go together for the end, but first let's learn a couple of his Torahs. Okay? Everybody have a sheet? Everybody got it? You know, you got it? Okay. So, who wants to read Parshat Bo? The Patriarch Yaakov. Okay.
You add praise of God from whatever to suffer. For example, if you eat something very tasty, you're melting. This fruit is something that's good. Who plays the good taste from the side of the sea? We're not blessed creator. It is not a blessed creature. It's a certain indication that in the creator is that in the creator there is every good taste without bound or limit. This is what Jacob thought with regards to everything.
Kavat. Awesome. So let's summarize, okay? So the Rebbe of Melech is teaching us that each Av represents a different Kabbalistic attribute. Avram represents Chesed, kindness. Yitzchak represents Vura, right? Not just the ability to say no, but the ability, the willingness to even give up your life for Hashem, because you have a. It's not just about saying yes; it's about giving yourself over to Hashem. And Yaakov, according to the Kabbalah, and Chassidus represents Tiferet, which is a blending of the two, which means, or some people to interpret it to mean beauty. And the way that Rav Elimelech Milevshitz explains it is that Yaakov's avoda was to take everything in the world and use it as a way to serve Hashem. Chesed says, I'm just going to give everything and love everything. Gvura says, no, I'm going to eat a little bit and that's it. Tiferet says, I'm going to, in the perfect harmony, the right balance, eat the right amount, and as I'm eating that, I'm going to be thinking about Hashem and connecting to Hashem, right? That's what Rebbe Melech says is the Derech of Yaakov. Or, I'm going to play sports. Now, I'm not going to play sports every single day, because then it becomes an avodah zara, and it's a little off balance. But I'm not going to also not play any sports and stay in the base 29-7, because I also have to feel good and exercise, feel good about my body. So what is the balance? I'm going to play sports. I'm going to play twice a week, 3 times, whatever. And then when I'm playing sports, I'm going to be completely connected to Hashem as I'm in that physical world. Right? I'm going to be thinking about Hashem. I'm going to be looking at the beautiful trees. I'm going to be looking at the beautiful frisbee. I'm going to be praising everyone. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be interacting with the physical world in a way that raises up the physical. Right? Similar to, and it's interesting, I don't know if this is pshat, but Yaakov, we really see him immersing himself in the physical. Right? He's working with sheep, and he's arguing with Lavan, and he has all these different trials and tribulations, more than the other avot. And again, this I think is the same avoda of him immersing himself in the world, but at the same time, never, he's still in that ladder to heaven. His feet are on the ground, but he's walking to the heavens, right? Like in the dream he had, he's lifting everything up to Hashem, but he's not disconnected from the world, right? Which is the concept that we've touched upon before, right? So specifically in the realm of eating, Rav Melech says that when I am going to eat this apple and this orange, guys, and we're going to do this in just a moment, okay? When I'm going to eat or drink my tea or whatever, I'm mamish thinking to myself, this is what he suggests, you should actually verbalize, wow, what a beautiful orange. It's delicious, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous. Thank you, Hashem, I'm eating this fruit in order to connect to you, Hashem. He wanted you to actually verbalize that. Because through that act of verbalizing, it makes it real, it makes it actually happen. Right? And this he says is the avoda of Yaakov. Let's read one more Torah about eating properly. It's a theme we've touched upon a lot, but it's obviously a very important concept in Chassidut. You don't want to read the Tzetzel HaKatan, the second source?
While eating and drinking each thing, keep in mind that the taste you experience when you chew and swallow the food is the divine inner essence and holy sparks that are in the food and drink. Through your eating, mastication and digestion, this inner essence is separated out so that it does not become waste matter and benefit outside forces. If one does this, then his soul derives pleasure from the innermost essence, while the waste matter becomes excrement, and is cast aside to outside forces.
What's mastication?
Chewing. Huh. Yeah.
Why does it say that?
What?
Why do you say chewing?
No, I don't know. But here's what he's saying. He's saying when you're eating that food, and this is what I was telling Avi today during lunch. What Rav Melech is suggesting is not just the bracha beforehand. Right? We've done a bracha meditation before, right? What he's suggesting is going even further. When you're eating that orange, should mamish be thinking with each bite, oh Hashem, oh delicious, oh gevalt, oh thank you Hashem. Mamish like really, really drawing out the inner essence of the orange and really, really immersing yourself in the physical in the total sense. And that's why people say Chassidus is like running, or Torah is running away from physical. No, it's immersing yourself in the physical, but immersing yourself in the physical in a way that you're doing it for Hashem and not purely just for my own.
When you eat, do you do that?
Sometimes, when I remember. The truth is, if I look back at my day, if I take the time, and sometimes I do take the time, to eat slowly and really appreciate it and thank Hashem for it, I look back in the day, that's usually the only food I remember. But if I don't do that, I ate breakfast, I ate lunch, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think... Today specifically, I can tell you, for my bran flakes, I did that a little bit. The reason I did it is because I was learning this. I was preparing this year. But still, and yes, I remember. What? What if the food's not so good? Then I would. Then I would try it on a different thing. Okay? But in general, yes, I do try this sometimes, and it really works. It really makes you enjoy it in gishmak. Do you want to try it right now?
Yes.
Do it. Okay. Who's a good orange cutter upper?
Brandon.
Okay. How about this? Brandon, you cut up an orange and maybe even an apple. And we'll do the next source, okay? Because our time is short, and then we'll get back to eating in a holy way. See? You wanna this? You can put this in there. Cutting. Okay, let's do source number 3 and 4. Okay, it's not that exciting, guys. Let Brandon cut it up. Okay, source number 3. Another Torah from Rav Nayam Elimelech. I'll read this one. There are tzaddikim who worship with pure thoughts, binding themselves to God through their observance with great attachment and yearning. Such individuals constantly perceive God's greatness. People such as these don't look forward to the delights of the future world. They experience the delights of the world to come right here in this world. Oh, gevalt. So again, when the Rebbe talks about the tzaddik, what I'm thinking to myself is, I want to be that tzaddik. It's not about, oh, there's some great people out there. The question is, how can I put that into my life, right? So what the Rebbe suggests saying is that if you're really living life right, this world can be an olam haba existence. Right? You've heard Rav Binney and Rav Aaron talk about these ideas before, that it's not about the olam haba in the next world, it's about bringing olam haba to this world. So this is where they're getting it from the Rebbe Melech Milizinsk, who's saying something which at his time was radical. He's saying that it's not about just yearning for the next world and serving Hashem so that I'll get ice cream in the next world. If I'm serving Hashem properly, my tefillah, right, my Torah, my eating, whatever it is, my bracha, that is me'in olam haba. That is actually a taste of the next world. Gaval, no? Pretty cool, pretty cool. Any guys ever experienced that? Have a feeling of like, wow, this is like almost like, I'm in this world, but it feels like the next world. Maybe even in a physical thing. Anybody ever have a feeling like, it's just gaval, is like the best? Like for me, it's just playing sports sometimes. It's gaval. But, you know, running. I would say another thing is when you're in a real tefillah experience, really shmoozing with Hashem, maybe on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, when you're really just an angel just singing to Hashem, to me it feels like you're almost like an olam haba in this world. I don't know, maybe some of you experienced this. We're on a Kabbalat Shabbat, the Kotel, dancing on our roof. Maybe you haven't experienced it, but B'ezrat Hashem you will. God willing, you'll be a place where even in this world it's like a olam haba type of existence. And the Rebbe is promising us that that's possible. But again, I think the Rebbe would say that in order to get to that type of existence, you might need to cut out a little bit of the physical and like the selfish and kind of purely devote yourself to Hashem in order to get to that place of really connecting to Hashem on a spiritual level. Okay? Good. Let's do one more teaching as our holy fruit is being brought down. Alex, you want to read it? Source 3? Source 4. Man's substance, I'm sorry.
Man's substance and soul are carved out from under the floor. One's beyond dwelling place must be supernal, supernal universes, but when a person sins, temperatures, and sacrifices on the supernal universe, he ceases to have any relationship
with it. Awesome. So how does this relate to what we've been talking about, what we've been discussing? How does this teaching reflect what we've been schmoozing about?
I mean, you're saying it's like a pizza.
Exactly. 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 Our natural essence, Jonah, our essence, according to Chassidut, is neshama. We are supernal, amazing souls that are meant to be shining. And just totally, no worries. But what's the problem? What happens? Why don't we feel our neshama right now floating off into neshama land? Right? What's the problem? The problem is the physical. The problem is that we get too obsessed with ego and the physical world and all of our distractions in life. And that creates a mechitza between us and Hashem. But naturally, a yid really is connected and totally a flying, super holy soul. Cool? Pretty cool, no? Pretty cool. Okay. The oranges and apples are still being cut, so let's do a couple more sources. You guys have the second page? Turn it over, guys. Turn it over. I do. You can use this. Awesome. Okay, so now we're reading selected teachings. I wrote up a couple of my favorite teachings from what's called the Tzetzel HaKatan. Okay? Again, it's just like a... The Rebbe wrote different points. If you want to be a good chassid, you should read this every day and try to live by this. Okay? So let's read a couple of them. Jordan, you want to read it?
Yeah.
Source number one.
Whatever you do, whether it be Torah study, prayer, or physical observance of commandments, have the habit of saying, "Behold, I am doing this for the sake of the unification of the Blessed One, and His divine presence to give pleasure to the great Creator. Blessed be His name." Make it a habit to say, with the innermost being of your heart. As time passes, you will experience great fulfillment.
Awesome. So, Jonah, what's he paraphrase for us? What's the Rebbe telling us about?
Everything you do and everything you say, make it for God, and all the time will have meaning for you.
Right, and not just make it for God, Jonah,
but you have to
verbalize. You have to speak it out. If you don't speak it out, if you leave it in your mind, it won't happen. Right? Now, he's also mentioning here the concept of unifying God, which is a very Kabbalistic concept we've talked about before. But for me, on a practical level, what this means is before I daven, I should talk to Hashem and say, "Hashem, please let me daven to connect to you." Before I eat, I should speak and say, "Please, Hashem, let me connect to you." Before I play frisbee, before I talk to my wife, before I talk to my friend, everything I do, I must verbalize and actually pray to Hashem, put a prayer out there that I should really be connected to Hashem through this thing. I'm about to eat lunch. A true chassid stops and says, please Hashem, let this me say a good bracha. Let me recognize that this is a gift and love every bite and recognize the gift of Hashem. You get the concept? It's pretty... You guys, could any of you ever imagine doing such things even once in a while? You think it would work? So this week, Bezrat Hashem, this week, we're going to do it. Bezrat Hashem, we're going to live Hasidic lives. Bezrat Hashem, it's going to be crazy. And then you're going to see, the Rebbe says, as time passes, we can experience great feelings when we do this. Okay? Good, all right. Next source, Avi, let's just finish it up and then we'll eat at the end. Source two.
Two?
Yeah.
Say with a joyous heart, bless you, the highest God, who has given me the commandment of tzitzis, which I am surrounded, as well as the commandment of washing my hands in the morning, to remove the spirit of evil, and serve hus from
and the severe hus from my hands. Oh. Excellent. So again, this is a very similar concept. The Rebbe says, when you wake up in the morning, you say Modani, and then you pray to Hashem, please, you don't just put on your tzitzis, you pray, please Hashem, let me really feel like God's presence is around me when I wear tzitzis. And then when you wash your hands, you say, please Hashem, let me get all the negativity off my hands and do netilat yadayim properly. You get the concept? Every action you do should be done with utmost kavana and verbalizing. It says the Rebbe. Good. Okay. Source three. Brandon, we're up to you. You ready?
There are tzaddikim who worship
the... No. The other. Accustom yourself. Set page two, sorry.
Accustom yourself to pray with all your strength and let your voice arouse concentration, bind the thought to work. Turn your face to the wall, looking into the prayer book morning and night, and do not glance to the side to write prayers.
Excellent. Okay, so this we touched upon before, but like I mentioned, Ramelech was very into tefillah, and he had a very simple approach. Nothing crazy. Last week we learned about raising up the holy thoughts. Remember, like, if distractions come into your head, do all sorts of crazy kavanot. He says very simple. Look at the sitter, focus on it, make a commitment that you're going to daven with all your heart and soul, put everything you have into it. That, like, very, very kind of simple instructions, like a commander kind of telling his soldiers what to do. That was his style. Some people might connect to it, some people a little less, but that was Rav Melech. Okay, and by the way, this is something in general. He just be in your own world. Don't let the world distract you. You're an Eved Hashem. You're a soldier in God's army. Just do what you got to do. That was kind of his approach. Good. Okay. Have you ready? Source four,
yep.
And five too. Why not?
Be careful to have a regular study session after you wake up.
Good. So in other words, right after you wake up in the morning, even before you daven. This is a Hasidic practice. Those who sometimes
it's got to be Tanya
if you're a good Chabadnik. Nechon. Sometimes they learn for a long time. It takes them a while till they actually get to davening. But this is a very big Hasidic concept that you don't just go straight to davening. You gotta learn. Why are you learning before you daven?
To get ready for your day.
To arouse your heart. To get ready. You can't just walk into davening, right? As I think we're seeing some patterns. You need to prepare yourself. It needs to come from the depth of your heart. It's much more important, right, to do a mitzvah from the depth of your heart than just to go through the motions, right? So you need to learn a little bit and arouse your heart before you go straight into davening. Good. Okay, source five, Evie? Right. Again, we mentioned this before. I don't know if this... I don't recommend necessarily that you should live your life only... looking in your four cubits, right? Because then you won't see the person who needs your help, who needs directions getting to the Shartium, right, on the way here. Somebody was like in a rush, so I saw somebody, so I like helped them get on their way, and they're like, oh, thank God, you're like the first person to help. Like, a lot of people are in their own world too much. But at the same time, sometimes in life, especially nowadays, we're constantly looking about the whole world. Right, we have our iPhone and we're constantly searching about what's happening there and here and our email and this and that, and there's good things about that, but there's also, like, we're just scatterbrained. sometimes, and we're just totally unfocused. We don't know what we're going to do next, you know? Maybe in yeshiva, you guys, at least you have 3-star, and you're a little bit focused, but, like, you know, you're going to go to college, it's like, you have your whole day free, and you're like, what do I do? Right? So the Melech is telling us, Rebbe, you got to have a schedule. You got to have a focus. What is your avoda today? Be focused on your 4 amos. Like, that's it. Don't worry about conquering. You have your goals and just be focused on getting it done. Right? That's another Torah. Remember, at the end of this, everyone's going to have to choose one Torah that they're going to take upon themselves for the week. So try to see if any of these Torahs is one that you connect to. Okay? So just to focus on your avoda Hashem and know that your avoda Hashem is extremely important. Right? That's all. That's right? And that's all Hashem wants from you. Good. Okay. Source number 6. We're back to Gidon.
In all things, habit becomes dominant. If you are lazy by nature, accustom yourself 40 consecutive days to do everything with diligence. Whether you go to sleep at night or awake in the morning, do so with diligence. Getting dressed is washing your hands, cleansing your body, and then go to the synagogue immediately when you rise from your studies.
Excellent. So what's the Rebbe talking about now? What's this teaching about? Anybody chop what he's trying to say?
Beat the habit.
Beat the habit. How do you beat your natural tendencies? Establish patterns. Establish habits. 4 days is a lot. But it'll work. I'm telling you, if you can't wake up for chakras and you wake up for 40 days in a row, you commit yourself 1,000,000%, you're gonna do 40.
Yeah, 40-day challenge,
I think. Yeah. You guys ready to do it? Should make a 40-day commitment. Do something. But anything, any bad habit that you have in life can be beaten. How do you beat it? You just gotta make a good habit and you just gotta commit yourself to it. Right, so the Rebbe is telling you, we all have negative things. All you got to do is commit yourself to change, to ritualize, to make good habits. Okay, finally, 7 and 8. I'll just finish it up. If you are by nature not steadfast in your studies, accustom yourself for 40 days to study more than usual. Right. Let's say you don't like learning. So 40 days, pound yourself, commit yourself. I'm going to learn this, and then hopefully it'll become a part of who you are. Another, again, we're seeing that this is not the Baal Shem Tov. This is the male thing. You need to work hard. There's no other way. It's not gonna sing a cute little Rabbi Nachman song before Marv is not good enough. You need to make commitments. You need to work, and then you can change yourself if you want to really be connected to Hashem. Finally, source number 8. Whenever you are not engaged in Torah and prayer, spend times memorizing the things you need. For example, Modim Durabanan. Yeah. Awesome. It could be Pirkei Avos. This is something that I did when I was in the army. I was really into this when I had free time to learn things by heart, and it kept me always connected to Hashem, and it kept me always in some way feeling connected. So I very much think this is a great, especially for on hikes and stuff like that. Memorize the Gemara you're learning, the steps of the Gemara. Memorize Asher Yatzar, memorize Al Mechia. Memorize stuff, and you'll always feel connected. All right, Bezrat Hashem. Before we eat our Heligag, not eat, before we eat the holy sparks in the orange and the apple, maybe if we can do a go around and everyone can take one thing which they were connected to, which they liked about the Torahs of Melech Melejins that you want to commit yourself, Bli Neder, to do over the course of this week. Yeah.
So like, I like how he says that, these habits are
So what habit are you going to beat? So what thing do you take punch in 40 days?
I choose to beat a habit.
No, seriously. Why not?
Tell us a habit.
No, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to do it in public.
Really keep you serious, yeah.
I'd say something like, I come shot and then you get 40 days. So that's a long time to commit.
So how about get somebody to wake you up for 40 days? In a row.
I like it.
Okay. Fine, you'll get back to me? You'll think about it? Anybody else have a commitment they want to take 40 days?
I too will make a big habit.
Which one? Alright. Trevor, any other teachings that people connected to or / habits they want to break 40 days?
I'm going
to
do 8, number 8.
Yeah,
one don't want to get
them. Specifically Mojin Durvanan or just memorizing things?
I don't think so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
For me personally, Pirkei Avos is a great thing to memorize and whatever.
Actually, I want to memorize Mojin Durvanan, so I don't have to go back to the page every time I get
there. Good. But I think it's not just about memorizing, it's about the idea that wherever you go, you can quote it and be connected to it.
Yeah,
so you're going
to
memorize it? Awesome. All right, Brandon, you got something? Something that you were connected to in the teachings? Awesome, okay, we got Usher, you got your commitments. I like it. Avi, you got something? Something, a Torah that you're connected to? Or a commitment you want to make?
Washing my hands in the morning.
And not just washing your hands. Okay, this one we're all going to do together, all right? This one I'm not giving you a choice. Chevra, at least once a day, before you do an action, you have to verbalize. I think the best is to daven. But if you're not going to daven, at least say, I am going to do this with intention. Okay? It could be washing your hands in the morning. It could be eating food. It could be smiling. Whatever it is. At least once a day, preferably 20 times a day if you want to be good chassid. But at least once a day, can everyone commit themselves that they're going to verbalize something? Yeah? Yes. I'm going to put it on the group to remind you, and I'm going to ask you next week, and anybody who doesn't do it, I'm going to throw a knife at you. Seder? Okay. Let's eat, and then right after we eat, one last story, and we'll stop. Okay.
Thanks for coming.